I knew. I said, "How are you? Not who are you?"
I'm fine. Yeah. Sorry, not who. Yeah, I'm fine.
Excellent. And you're here, Marla. How are you?
I'm good.
That's excellent. Are you in a new place? I've not seen that name before in Massachusetts.
They just don't usually put it down.
Ah, okay.
I've been.
That's an interesting
years.
Name. Pepperell.
Yeah, Pepperell.
Yeah. And Jeff Watson.
Hi, Jenny. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. I'm just sent you through an email. If you get a moment, you're most welcome to have a look at it. It's got some photos of Jackson.
Oh, lovely. A bit too late for me to stick them up before the seminar, but I'll stick them up afterwards.
Thank you. That'll be lovely.
Yeah, and then people can have a look. I just read your email. I'm thinking, yes, it's a bit late for me to figure that out.
No problem.
Welcome to your first Fast Track seminar.
Thank you.
Okay. Who have we got on webcast? Let's have a look at the chat room. Francis is here from Nanagoon. Good morning, Francis. How are you, Sunshine? Carolyn's there from Portugal. Anna Karen's there from Sweden. And Jody's there from Georgia. Hello. Let's have a bit of a chat for a minute because it's just hit 7 a.m. on my computer and give other people a chance to come in live. So, Jeff, nobody's heard your voice before. So are you up for telling us a little bit about yourself and your baby?
Oh, yes. I'm a fairly mature rider now. I've just turned 72, so life is definitely a very wonderful and interesting time with my horse, because I've got plenty of time to share training with him, and he's my third ex-race horse. Can you believe? So I've over the years I've had a number of different horses. And as a child, I rode extensively in Bega down in New South Wales on the south coast. And I think that wonderful experience of being able to jump on a horse, or my horse then, and just ride for the whole day and come back, and that freedom to do that was just life-changing for me, and I'm still living out my childhood now.
So you're up in Orange now. That's quite a change in climate from Bega.
It definitely is, and at the moment we're having one of the best years for grass in our paddocks that I can remember. The grass is literally up to my chest now.
Wow.
So sometimes
overseas friends, Orange was in major drought. You were actually, wasn't your town actually running out of water?
Yes, we were running, this time last year, we were running out of water and my paddocks were bare. And now I really have to look hard to find Jackson. He's 17 hands and I have to look hard to find him.
Wow, it's like the grass has put all its life into one year.
Yes. So at the moment, Jenny, what's happening, my training's taken on a big pause because we've worked out that Jackson has a hip injury. And part of the background to, I'm sure, what you'll be able to see once you think about where he's at, is that he's in rehab at the moment. So he's had some chiropractic work about 3 weeks ago, and we've had him for 6 months, and he's always been very difficult in the saddle. He's lovely in the walk, but the moment he starts trotting, he's anticipating the canter. And being an ex-racehorse, he was a very successful ex-racehorse, actually. He's anticipating this canter, and I think the canter was causing some pain.
Yep. Just pause 1 second. I'm just taking you across to a different mode so we can block out the background so we don't embarrass anybody. Okay, I've got you open again. So tell me.
Okay.
Tell me which part of your relationship with Jackson brought you to us.
Well, Jackson belongs to a friend of mine. He was desperate to find a new place for him. And he came to me with a wonderful offer. He said, look, I'll pay for all his vet fees and so on and his feeding if you can just look after him and train him again. He'd been out for about 6 years in a paddock as a companion horse, and practically nothing was done with him. So yes, I started. He was unrideable when I first got him, but he's got a beautiful soul. And I love him. He's a gorgeous boy. And when I'm actually able, and I can ride him, of course, now. He is like a stock horse for turning. You just touch the rein and he's turned, which is so unusual for a thoroughbred, I can tell you. So really, somebody's put a lot of time into him. And he's very good on the ground. He's very tractable, very quiet, very easy to work with. So yeah. He's got a lot of positives, but he's going through this really tough time.
So did you notice in the work that brought you into Fast Track that there's some significant healing possibilities within the relationship with the human?
Yes, I've noticed that. And I have to say this as well. When I first got him, he was fairly standoffish with me in the paddock, like he wasn't a warm horse. You know, he didn't yeah. really want to nuzzle you and really enjoy, you know, the pats and the care that I wanted to give him. So I just, you know, accepted that. That's how it was. But after we started really understanding that he was sore and that we needed to work with him on that issue, he started coming over to me in the paddock and he just put his head in my chest and just rubbed it up and down. So you can just see he can really talk to me, and I'm just so aware that I need to be listening to what he's saying. Yeah.
So now it's the not just the listening, it's the understanding and the taking action on what it is that you get. And that just takes a little bit of practice. Wow, yes. Lovely to hear your voice.
I'm learning that. So that's my story, Jen. That's where I'm
lovely.
Up to.
Lovely. Nice to meet you. Very nice to meet you. And Adrian's come in from Deer Park in the US. Good morning, Sunshine. How are you?
Oh, oops. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good
somebody
morning.
Somebody said to me the other day by email, oh, gosh, I just love Adrian's voice. You've got a cute voice.
Well, if I have to say it's been entertaining for years because my husband's voice sounds a lot like mine, so
yeah.
We can pass for each other on the phone.
Okay.
So, say hello to Tom.
G'day, Tom. Okay. I just wanted to say more of a good day to Oriana.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to say more of a good day to you because I kind of went from boom, 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 boom as I went up the board.
How are you? I'm still having lots of trouble with Fred. I think
what happened is he went into complete overwhelm when this lady Sonja took the or cut the bandage off his foot. And as a result of that, he's gone more distant with me and colder. And what I've done is let him be himself,
yep,
and yep, not pushed to touch him or anything like that. And he is coming round and getting more himself, but he's still not as chirpy as he should be.
Okay, just pause for a second, because I'm just going to take it in a slightly different direction that jumps up and bites me on the bum as you're talking. What if this, and remind me in a minute to go and get my phone so that Carolyn can message me if something's going wrong on the chat room, or something's happening with the sound or whatever. What if there's a rightness? Now, I know what Sonja did has caused a problem.
Yeah.
And that you wish she hadn't done it. But what if there's a rightness to what's happened? That there's something to come out of this that's so big and so positive for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just pause and have a feel into what that feels like. Now, I'm not saying that, this is almost a, paradox?
Yeah. I had a message from Fred that was very much, he's got fed up with the focus still on his feet, and he wants to do more things that don't involve focus on his bloody feet.
That sounds good to me. Well, see, this is that fixing stuff us humans get into. And look, you know, you're talking to the queen of fix it. It's taken me forever to kind of let go of that and start looking for the rightness in things instead of the problem.
Yeah.
And this is the paradox. There is a problem, right? You've got a problem with his feet. But the paradox is the more you focus on that, the tougher it gets.
Yeah, the other thing is that I have noticed that this horse likes to have control of his own body. And
oh, hello, Fred. Welcome to my world.
So a lot of things he feels he hadn't given permission for, okay?
Yeah.
And he needs this involvement with, would you like to, can I, rather than me just marching in and doing stuff.
Yeah.
But definitely doing work. I mean, as far as I know, the foot is getting better. It's a bit slow. I've got him on some devil's claw because I think he was getting a bit depressed about it. And Wednesday there was an energy change. I've got no idea what that was, but, you know, it's something I noticed. And I'm not focusing on it as much, so I know it's getting better.
Yep.
But it's this business of giving him space. That was another one. He's a horse that is the exact opposite of Nuveng, who's all over you and wants cuddles and all the rest of it. And Fred isn't quite like that. If he wants you to give him a scratch or something like that, or you notice that he's itchy somewhere, he will appreciate it. But he's not a horse, at the moment, he may change, who wants fuss.
Yeah.
I think maybe I've made the mistake of fussing too much about his health and not doing enough with him.
Yeah, so I'm going to take you back to what I said a minute ago about focusing on a problem, on something as a problem rather than seeing the, I've noticed this in my healing work, this is a really big deal that completely transforms the energy of healing work and opens up so many more possibilities when we look at the rightness of what the body is doing instead of the wrongness.
Yeah.
Which is quite appropriate for today's topic of conversation as well.
Yeah, because basically I've been told to leave my feet alone. That's it.
Yeah.
And so I am heeding that. I'm still giving it a look or two when he sort of goes on to again.
Because you can't help yourself.
But I'm it's making me more present. Now, the other thing, this is a little...
Now, just pause on this for a second, because I need to move on and say hello to somebody else in a second. You said in an email that there's this very human thing about wanting... How was it that you expressed it? It's like we're not good owners unless we're fixing it.
Yeah, being a bad owner.
Yeah, yeah. And yet, I see this all the time, and I see terrible repercussions all the time of too much human interference.
Yeah.
You know, just as an example, there was a Facebook friend who had a horse with a monumental chest injury.
Mm.
And her vet, who is clearly not an experienced horse vet, stitched it.
Hmm.
Stitching a chest injury is almost invariably a no-no.
Yeah.
You hardly ever stitch a chest injury. I can't imagine even a circumstance where you might stitch a chest injury.
Yeah.
And months later, with torn stitches and... proud flesh everywhere and deep shit and all this kind of stuff, this injury still wasn't healed. A few years ago, Rapunzel had a chest injury that was so deep I could fit my fist in it.
Yeah.
And it was a weird source that could only have been a tree branch that broke as she struck it, because I could not find anything in the paddock that caused it.
Yeah.
And... 23 days and it was all healed.
Yeah.
23 days, closed up steadily from out to in, not just closing up on the outside and mucking on the inside, but steadily closing up from out to in, completely healed, down to a light scab in 23 days.
Yeah.
And I barely touched it.
Yeah.
I stuffed it with honey.
Yeah,
I stuffed it with honey at the beginning because that's a really good antibacterial. And all I did was keep stuffing it with honey. I didn't wash it because it was muddy. It was winter and her coat was muddy and I couldn't rug her because it was on her chest. Not that she would have enjoyed being rugged anyway. And if I'd hosed it, I would have been putting dirt into it.
Yeah.
So I just kept stuffing it with honey for a few days. Every time I looked at it and felt like it wanted attention, I stuffed it with honey. 23 days later, it was healed.
Mm. Can I just say something else, Jenny? Something I've been paying a bit more attention to. It's to do with being present and feeling inside myself as to how exactly I am. I went to the dentist to have my teeth cleaned, which is something I don't mind, and I noticed I was tensing up while this was being done, so I had to keep on untensing myself. And 2 days ago, I spent some time just standing beside Fred and noticing tension. I'm not certain whether it was his or mine, but it's something I've been focusing on a little bit more. Today, Nuvain came up to me while I was sitting in the chair, and I noticed this much more relaxed feel. It's this business of maybe noticing more the horse's energy, my energy, and where I am with that, because I've been wondering with Fred whether my naturally slightly tense persona has also been affecting him.
Okay. Pause on this one because this is a good one to talk about. Number one, you're a what we call a type A personality. You're a busy, do stuff kind of personality. I don't think your horse expects you to change your personality.
No.
You don't expect him to change his, you know, he doesn't expect you to change yours. I did want to pause and draw your attention to the physicality of that tension and the fact that you are feeling into it and relaxing it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether it's your tension or his tension, when you are present to it, when you pause and feel into it and open up to understand that tension so that you can let it go, it doesn't matter whether it's yours or his, you're doing the right thing. Because if it's his, so if it's him communicating his physical tension, I'm drawing your attention to this, Oriana, because physical feel has not been strong for you.
Yep.
And I'm getting the impression that you're stepping into strong physical feel.
Okay.
You're adding this to your feel repertoire.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to fix it, instead of trying to relax into it, just pause and get present to the tension.
Yeah.
Open up to be with it and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And high five. Like, that's exciting. Yeah. Stepping into a new way of feeling. Woohoo! Yeah. Now, I've got a couple of other people to say hello to.
Yes, sure.
Good on you. Well, like, you've been blowing me away at how fabulous your feel is.
Okay, well, thanks for that.
Yeah. Okay. Whoops. I almost clicked somebody off. Maud, how are you, sunshine?
Hi, I'm all right. I'm okay. I've been through the ringer.
Yes, I know you've been through the ringer. I've been holding space for you.
Wow. Yeah, thank you.
Are you cool with giving everybody a little bit of background?
Yeah, it's fine,
Okay, if you like, I'll summarise it.
Yeah, do.
Okay. Maud's hit a place where, lots of us have hit this before, where everything seems to be going wrong. She's questioning everything and got kind of bogged down in a not quite right, so not at all sure what to do about it. And she had a private lesson a couple of weeks ago that went into belief, into what she believed in, because let me explain why. This is a big deal. When this is the way, actually, pause and let me go get my phone in case Carolyn needs to grab my attention to something. Hang on. Sorry about that. Different levels of communication needed all the time. So, one of the things I notice when I find somebody's bogged in not quite right, over the last while, quite a few months, maybe longer, instead of trying to solve that, I've been looking at what's behind it. And invariably what's behind it is our own belief systems. For example, this is how I've been thinking. This is the insights that have come to me. And it's not just for Maud, it's for many people in different kinds of situations, including healing situations. If it's true that not quite right is and all the ways that you experience your feel for your horse are communication from your horse that you need to take action on. If that's true, and if I believe that, if I know that to be true all the way to my bones, then it's easy to follow the not quite rights, and it's easier to follow the not quite rights, and it's easier to take action on them. But what I've noticed is what I'm teaching is my experience and, of course, the experience of hundreds of other people before us, before you. So what I'm teaching you is inspiration. to find your own truth. So this comes down to that thing that I often say, what I believe in is of no use to you when the shit hits the fan. My truth is of no use to you when the shit hits the fan. It's only yours that counts. So what I did with Maud was set her on a path to figure out what she believed in. And of course, that's thrown up this enormous processing, hasn't it, Maud?
Yeah, it really has, and I'm still in it.
Yeah, not surprising, it's a big deal. But it's going to cut through, but it's going to cut through everything. Can you feel the excitement of it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, what it's done for me, it's thrown me into a new place or, self-awareness. It's like I've peeled back another layer to myself and what goes on for me in any situation or when I'm triggered.
Yeah.
And it's especially around the horses.
Yeah.
And but it's throughout my entire life. And what I've realised is I've been, without going into detail, I've been operating in like one huge not quite right.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. It's like I've done this work for, I think, just over a year. And I've been doing it thinking I was getting it right, but actually, I know we're back to right and wrong, aren't we? I wasn't quite getting it. I was coming at it from the part of me that wasn't actually me.
Yes, so I'm peeling away another layer. You were coming at it from my inspiration rather than from your truth.
Yeah. But what I'm, from me, from my perspective, I was coming at it from the child in me.
Ah.
Trying to get it right and trying to look after everyone and trying to, you know, I'm carrying so much from childhood, as we do, that I hadn't kind of learned. I've done so much work around this already, you think, why is it still happening? But I still, with the horses, I wasn't stepping to the side of that and being an adult with them. And it was totally unconscious. So now that's what I'm working on.
I think you're going to enjoy some of the insights about right and wrong that have been coming up for me over the last couple of weeks. The universe has been sending me example after example after example after example of things that I would have said I wouldn't do, things that I would think I shouldn't do, things that I would think are wrong. And it's going bang, 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 bang. There is no wrong. There is no wrong. There is no wrong. There is no wrong. And leadership and the leadership that comes out of that.
It's okay to make mistakes. That's been a big one for me.
Yeah.
Really forgiving myself. But, you know, I might make mistakes tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing my best.
Well, I've always said it's about a willingness to make mistakes. We have to be willing to make mistakes. Part of that is being willing to allow the horse to make mistakes, as well as being willing to allow us to make mistakes. Because they're not really mistakes at all. They're just exploring what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
And look, we can, as I said, you know, we can say that till the cows come home. But that has to come from deep inside us. So that's super, 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 super.
Yeah, I mean, I am finding that each time I go to them, I've taken it right back to just really simple and basically just doing a quiet mind with them. And then maybe I've been holding out the halter, not necessarily putting it on. You know, just it's something as simple as that. I'm just watching the feelings inside me.
Yeah.
The feel, just going...
Yeah.
Okay, this is okay to step here, and it doesn't feel okay to go there. And how does it feel if I put the halter in the air? You know, just those things, and really kind of learning where it is. But it's a bit like I'm having to go into a private, proper quiet mind every half a minute or something.
Yeah.
So it's quite, you know, quite intense. And I'm also, I'm going back over everything, so back to halter in the end.
Yeah, yeah. And Look, I've heard people say, and I heard a slight hint of it in you on the forum, only a hint of it, because I can feel you know it's the right thing to do. But there's this feeling that you've gone back to the beginning. That's actually not true. It's such an important point. This is foundational relationship stuff that is so freaking big in its implications that will stand you instead for everything that you want to do that's complex and beautiful. So if you were working on, if you were a dressage master working on PF, and you had to come back and feel this stuff in the halter that you're feeling now, then that would be the perfect way to resolve your problem with the PF.
Mm. Yeah. And, yeah, I get that. It's so hard not to let my mind turn into that, you know.
Just keep getting present to that so that instead of it being my inspiration, it ends up being your truth.
Yeah. Can I just name something as well that I'm feeling? Yeah. I was actually anxious. I was anxious to come on the seminar and I was a bit late. I think I started to sabotage myself. But I've just been, I'm just really, really worried about doing anything with the horses and going from the holstering stuff now to maybe taking them out for a walk again. I'm so kind of worried about it going wrong, me being wrong again, even though I know that, you know, there is no right and wrong. I'm terrified of that. And I think I've been holding on to it. I can feel it now, like I'm actually holding my breath saying it. Very well.
Okay, so get present to the holding of your breath. This is a perfect introduction to our topic of conversation today. So for other people's benefit, for Jeff's benefit, for example, because he wouldn't have experienced this before, he may not have experienced this before, in what way do you take yourself into being present easiest?
I close my eyes and I put myself inside my body, right to my hands and my feet.
Yeah.
And I feel my heart beating.
Okay.
And my breath.
So now you're present to that tension? Or to the not being able to breathe properly?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just like a terror and panic, just getting it wrong.
Okay. This is going to sound like a dumb question, but whose is that?
It's a child. It's from when I was young. So it's not now, and I can feel that.
Yeah.
But it's going to take me some time to. I'm seeing everything again from an adult perspective, and I don't know. It's totally new. Each foot forward is a new step from here, from a grounded place. So it really feels like the unknown, and I don't want to mess it up again.
But here's the thing, sweetheart. I want you to stay being present and notice the truth or not of what I'm about to say. You can't make a mistake. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So you don't need to notice the truth or not of that right now. But while you're feeling inside yourself, you can decide to notice the truth of that or not. What's your truth about that?
About
making mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it's all just learning. And it's all okay.
Yeah. That hasn't actually eliminated your breath problem. It's still tight. So it's not the answer.
Yeah.
Although it sounds wonderful and it's could very well be what you think could very well be true, but it's not the answer you're looking for in this moment because it hasn't solved your tension.
It's a common sense answer, but it's not it.
Yeah. So because this is a live seminar with everyone, just decide to understand your truth around it. Okay, that's not quite the right thing, is it? There's more to this than meets the eye. I can feel my third eye is a bit tight. For me, this was something about willingness to see the answer. I once had somebody say to me, and it's not the same thing for you, but this is not what I think is going on with you, but it's just an example. I once had someone say to me, I don't think I want to hear my horse talk to me. I don't want them to know that they don't like me. I don't want to know if they don't like me.
Yeah.
And that made me laugh. So for her, there was a willingness. She had to find the willingness to hear them. And as I said, that's not yours, but there's a willingness issue in here somewhere.
Yeah, I've got what I'm guessing is that there's something in it for me around time and running out of time. And I don't know what that is when you fix it.
Just say that again, your voice has gone all kind of faint and blurry.
There's something in it for me around the feeling of running out of time. And that's almost like I need to get it sorted because I'm running out of time. I have this thing that Jack's going to die.
Ah, okay.
Or that, you know, he's going to get some age-related problems. And this is, I'm feeling really, yeah, my chest is getting tighter and tighter.
Okay.
And sometimes I wonder if I'm going to die. I'm 46, so it's not, we could go any time, but you know, it's not a...
Okay, so stay present to this, because if this was the answer, your chest wouldn't be getting tighter, it would be getting easier. So just be present to the tightness in your chest. Allow yourself to smile a little. This is all part of that belief system stuff and that inspiration stuff I was talking about earlier. And it's so appropriate for everybody, not just for you. When there's a pattern of something coming up over and over and over again, you can almost guarantee it's got a belief in underneath it. What's the truth? The truth always feels good. You know, whoever said that bullshit, the truth hurts stuff, was outrageously wrong. The truth never hurts. It always feels good.
Mm.
I've worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I've never come across someone who got an expansive truth from their soul and had it feel crappy. It always felt good. Because to understand the big picture about something is to understand the perfection in it. And what a great time in history for us to understand the perfection in things that appear to be not so crash hot.
Maybe the truth is that just about. Not
again, it's like your voice is 5 miles away from the bed.
Oh, I'm trying to make it better.
There you go.
Maybe it's the timeless lessons when I just let go of the fear and feel that it's okay. Because today we're doing what we're doing and not project into the future.
Well, there's a thing. As soon as you get into the future, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because once you get into the future, you're making it up.
Yeah.
Once you start looking into the future, you're literally making assumptions and making it up. And yet, there's the paradox, because being present, you can see the flow. When you're super present, you can actually see the effect of the past on who we are now and the flow into the future, all in one kind of, you know, expansive moment. And yet, to go looking into the future on purpose, think about it, you have to be making it up.
Yeah, as you're talking, I'm just feeling more into the being in the present. I'm feeling the tightness just easing, just incrementally.
Yeah. So everybody on the call here this morning, get present for yourselves. Use this opportunity to get more present yourselves. Brings smiles, Carolyn, doesn't it? I swear sometimes those of us in the staff group are of one mind at the same time. I guarantee Carolyn was thinking exactly that. She'll tell us in the chat room in a minute. We seem to read each other's minds.
There's so much judgment to get through around you should be doing something with your horses. You know that. What are they? Field ornaments? Why aren't you doing stuff with them? Everyone else is.
Comes down to that belief stuff, doesn't it? So all this is underpinned by beliefs. We can talk about the rights or wrongs of, or the merits or not of, you know, whether a horse being a paddock ornament or doing groundwork with them or riding or not riding. You know, we could have all these discussions until the cows come home. But the bottom line is what you're believing.
Yeah.
So get present to that.
I think they're getting quite a lot of stimulation out of me just visiting with them and doing this quiet mind and relating to them.
Yeah, I bet they are.
They're going, ooh, that's different, she's different, this is interesting. And we're having more conversations. And
yeah. So can you feel your breath is, can you feel your breath is actually easing?
Yeah,
So now you're working in the truth.
Yeah.
Perfect. So while I've got you open, I'm going to open Carolyn from Dundonald in Victoria as well. Carolyn, what was your experience of getting more present just then?
You're just becoming more relaxed, and yes, I do need to be more present more often. But yeah, just more relaxed, calmer.
Yeah. I need to get more present more often. Yeah. Just have a feel into that statement. Does it feel good?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Well, it just goes to show you, because it wouldn't feel good to me. So it just goes to to the thing about celebrating our differences. Because to me, I don't like to work at getting present. I like it to be effortless.
Just happen.
Yeah, and so I'm always looking for ways to make it effortless. And yet, Sue, who is gobsmackingly present, you know, Sue on staff here, who is gobsmackingly present and an extraordinary horsewoman, she works at getting present before she walks in the paddock. She has a routine that she goes through that deepens her presence before she walks in the paddock. Yet that doesn't suit me. It's another celebration of our differences. This is exactly why I've been working with Maud in the beliefs that underpin what's been happening with her. You know, what's really the truth? What's the truth of what's really going on here? And what do I believe in? And is what I believe in true? Because invariably that cuts through into me. You know, when I do that, I find me. And it's me that's being present in my way of being present. God, can you feel the energy of that? Can you feel the energy of that, Maud?
Yeah. Yeah, feels like there's so much clear away to get to that.
Say that again, I thought in your ear.
It's like there's a, for me anyway, there's a lot to keep clearing away. It's like to keep sweeping back the debris to find that.
Yeah. Presence. Yeah. And again, this leads into today's topic. Here I was thinking, you know, that all these things were, there was right and wrong. You know, I put a list on the notes. I won't go reading my notes this morning because it's turning out to be part of the whole session that we're doing today. You can read them later. But working with Rapunzel and thinking she was out of her comfort zone. Her back wasn't lifted up and she was clearly out of her comfort zone. And you would think that backing off was the answer. You know, getting smaller, getting gentler, getting softer. It wasn't. It was going faster and harder and stronger was the answer. And man, you should see some of the, we're just right on the cusp of doing some gobsmacking stuff out of the car window. She did a slide stop from a gallop yesterday, day before yesterday. Slide stop from a gallop out of the car window.
I can't even imagine how that happened.
Well, it didn't happen at the spa suddenly. suddenly deciding that's what I wanted to do. There's been all kinds of little, you know, little things on the way, from learning to walk out of the car window to learning to stay in a halter properly, to not lean on it, to go for Sunny. You know, I've got a herd that plays with us while we do this. So Sunny came along and was biting her on the bum, and I had to figure out a way to stop Sunny from having a go at her while we were working. Either that or lock them up somewhere else, but I figured that I needed to stop Sunny from having a go, because it's fabulous. I've got all the horses galloping with me. Yeah. Everybody comes with us, walk, trot, canter, gallop. And some of them, sometimes they roar in front of us, and sometimes they're coming up behind us. And, you know, so the whole herd's getting exercised, not just Rapunzel. And so here's Sunny biting Rapunzel on the butt. And so I started carrying a carriage whip in the car to send Sunny away when she started to come at, so I could protect Rapunzel. At first I was doing things like beeping the car horn at her, and then there's a nurse who lives next to that paddock, and I know she does shift work, and I had no idea whether I was beeping the car horn when she was asleep. So then I took a pocket full of stones to throw at her backside and tell her to go away. And then I'd run out of stones and she'd come at Rapunzel again. So I started carrying a whip. And then we were doing things like I'd see Sunny coming up behind and Rapunzel's kind of lagging back a bit. And I'd have to whack her on the butt a little, not a big, you know, not a big, like, whack, but quick, Sunny's coming. And who would have thought that in all the gentleness of the stuff that I do, that I'd be whacking a horse on the butt, telling him to hurry up. But it was for her benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, it made sense in the moment.
Yes. Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. And here so she
that was. Is that what you felt when you knew that it wasn't smaller and softer that she wanted, but bigger and faster?
Well,
how did that feel for
that,
you?
It felt right to explore getting bigger and stronger. So picture it. We've got sloping downhills and uphills in this paddock. And it's not steep, but it's significant slope. It's not just a gentle slope. It's significant. And going downhill, Rapunzel was off balance at a trot. And her back was hollow. And I tried various ways of getting her to get her backside underneath her and balance better going down the hill, including dropping back to a walk and finding a comfort zone and, you know, doing all the slow down, go gentle kind of things. And then I got, this isn't working. It's not improving her trot downhill. This is a horse who trots downhill every day of her bleeding life. We live on hill country. And I'm sure she doesn't stagger down the hill off balance. So it just came to me to go faster. So when she was unbalanced at the trot, I cantered her. And then I went canter to walk, and then boom, she just started rocking horse cantering down the hill.
Yeah.
And then when I dropped her back to a trot, her back was lifted and she was really strong and powerful and under herself. And it's the opposite to what I would have thought.
Yeah.
So the results, so there was a right, it felt right to explore it, and the validation was fabulous. I think that's the answer to your question, Maud.
Yeah, and you would have got her not quite right if it wasn't.
Yeah.
If it wasn't going that way, it wasn't going to be a good idea. Yeah.
The other thing I noticed, and I know I'm doing a lot of talking to you in particular, but this is something for everyone. I'm sure this fits with everyone. The thing that I noticed that was very strong, and for me it was a feel in my third eye, there was like doubt in my, I could feel this is doubt in me. Was I doing the right thing? There was kind of a, oh, is this the right way to do it? Because, you know, I've always wanted to be soft and sweet and smooth and gentle. And yet here is this incredibly powerful force asking me to be big and strong and clear.
Mm.
And there was this doubt in my mind when I was doing the soft and the gentle, and I noticed there was this funny feeling in my third eye, that there was a pattern of this funny feeling in my third eye that was actually not quite right, but quite different from anything that I felt. And what it was when I wasn't actually being a leader. I got bogged down in being wishy-washy.
Mm, can relate to that.
I thought you would. And so there was this signal that I noticed this feeling in me, and I just pause and feel into, oh, why am I feeling doubtful about this? So I have to get clear so I can be clear with her.
Yeah.
Is this are you relating to this too, Carolyn?
Yes, I am.
I had a feeling you might be. So, my question is, how, and for every single one of you on the call, how do you feel doubt like that? You know, there's many different forms of leadership, and the cooperation stuff we've been doing, and the helping a horse to not, you can't do this kind of leadership if you've got fear in a horse. You can't do this kind of leadership if you've got resistance in a horse. Anna Karen's email about Bizkaya was perfect to go into today's session, and all of you have a read of it if you haven't already. Bizkaya had so much resistance in her from what's gone on before, that Anna Karen is working with this incredible softness and sweetness and whatever, you know, to actually help her let go of that resistance and the defensiveness that's behind that resistance, her need to defend herself, which is why she got resistant in the first place. So we wouldn't do the kind of leadership that I'm talking about, which is getting clear about being bigger and stronger and whatever. You wouldn't do that if the horse was afraid or resistant. But it's like being present to what's needed in this moment, and not being afraid, and noticing my doubt, and allowing myself to understand and get clear on me, so then I could be clear with my horse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mary.
Hello.
I've got everybody else open, but I'm opening you up as well. I've got Maud and Carolyn open, and I'm opening you up as well. This is resonating for you too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. What I was thinking just then was that it's an absolute split-second change between yes, I need to be soft. Oh, no, I don't. I need to be, ask for a bit more.
Yeah.
It can be, yeah, it's really hard to describe it. You've got to be there in the spot to see what's happening. And you're asking softly, softly, softly. And the horse is just basically giving you the finger in a way because it's not what they want. Yeah. It's obviously it varies horse to horse. It has to vary. Horse to horse and person to person and
moment to moment.
Situation you're in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's exactly what I wrote in the notes. All the threads that make up me, all the threads that pull together to make up me and my horse in this instant, in this utter moment, are different from the threads. If you're standing beside me having the same experience, it will be different threads that make up you and your horse in that moment. So this me stuff, Maud, so this kind of puts the emphasis on the me stuff, Maud. That's why being so comfortable with the core of me is such a big deal. And, you know, we've been conditioned by society, and excuse me, Jeff, if I talk about women here, but particularly us women have been conditioned by society I'll use the words bow down, to defer to something that someone else thinks is better for us or whatever.
Thank you. Jenny, have a look in the chat room. You've got comments from Ariana and along the same lines, Mara and Marla.
Yeah. There's a fear around doing something with a tense horse, and yet movement can be very good at releasing tension. Yeah, so when they say feel the fear and do it anyway, I want to punch someone's lights out. And yet I get exactly what you're saying. Normally when someone says feel the fear and do it anyway, they're actually bulldozing through their fear. And yet you're absolutely right, Oriana. Carolyn's talking about her way, and this is what's so good about experiencing the celebrating the differences. Her way is to really feel any tension, really allow it to be in her body, to look at it and observe it, and the curiosity, the wonder of why it's there. And then when the answer floats up, the tension disappears because she's allowed it to be there. Yeah, and Oriana's talking about wondering about exploring the energy of it rather than purposely relaxing. It's finding the rightness in it. The rightness in it. Marla's saying, I should open Marla up for her to say it herself. Hang on. I will open you up, Marla, so you can say that yourself. I'm just going to mute everybody else for a second, because we've got a little bit of background stuff. Hang on, I'm almost there. The board flicks every time I... Yes. So, talk on this, Marla.
Yeah. So I went through a period this past summer where I was trying to be really soft and feel for what Maggie wanted, and she just got stickier and stickier and less willing to carry. And finally, I'll admit, sort of out of desperation one day, I needed her to go back into her paddock, and she was just stuck. I just sent her forward with the flick of the leg, and I thought, but she's much happier, much more willing to play, always comes up and wants to do stuff with me now. And I just said, I think in being really soft, I wasn't clear.
Yeah.
And it's not that she's not really tuned in to me and most of her really soft. But when it comes to, like, do I need to, I felt like I was just pleading instead of saying, let's do it. And she wanted me to say, this is what we need to do.
There you go. Leadership issue. But just put perspective on this. You were able to step into leadership because you've dealt with her fear and her resistance.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like it was afraid at the time. It
this
just felt like
past.
She was saying...
I'm talking about in the past.
Yeah, in the past.
Mm. So without having dealt with her fear and resistance in the past, stepping into leadership that strongly may not have worked. So that's what I mean about all the threads.
Right. It's something that I had taught her many, many years ago when I first got her 10 years ago. and I had gotten where I just never used it because I rarely needed it. But I had decided that I shouldn't do it because it was much harsher, more of a threat than anything else I do with her.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because she just got where she was resisting everything, even like walking from the paddock to the barn to get her grain. Or from the barn where she had her grain back to the paddock to eat her hay. She just stopped and said, nope, don't think I'm moving today. Maybe after a while. And like I said, I just finally said, I really need you to move. And she said, oh. And she started coming back up to me in the paddock when I went to catch her, but she had not been, she had never left, but she was just going, yeah, okay, I guess. So it was interesting because I felt like being better, but for her in that situation, it wasn't.
So the answer... You know, so if anybody's wondering about how do you know when to do which, and Anna Karen's coming to the board, so she's got some contribution to make here. How do you know? It's by being present, following your good feelings and using your not quite right for change.
It's so wrong. It was.
Oh, darn. You're breaking up like crazy, Marla. We couldn't hear what you said just then.
Okay. I said it felt so wrong what I believed I should do that it was hard to let it, even when Maggie.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to read between the lines. And interpret that, and you can say yes or no, that it was hard to work through what you believed in around what was right and wrong.
Yeah.
Ah, cool. Your line's terrible. Okay, I've opened up Anna Karen, because she's coming here because no doubt she's got a brilliant contribution about softness to her.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. When I'm working with this Gaia, it's I have to be very clear, but soft. If I'm not clear with her, I'm not. And she's not going to follow me. She's not going to be with me.
Yeah.
So in my softness, I need to be clear. So there's no opposite. This can say so. Opposition. Between those things, being soft and clear, you can be both. You can be soft and have the energy, but the softness is the key to her. If I'm not soft with her, she don't want to be with me.
Yeah. And if I interpret what you're saying into me, it draws my attention to when I'm strong with Rapunzel, and because strong is what she's looking for,
yeah.
Then my posture is perfect. So there is no pull or push.
Yes.
So there's a sponginess in my posture, and that comes
yes.
from part of that sponginess in the posture comes from comfort zone, my comfort zone,
yeah.
and my self-carriage.
Yes.
Which comes from my confidence too, if that all kind of makes sense. So that's in, so posture can bring softness into the mix,
yes.
even with strength and power.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so too. Yes.
What an interesting discussion we've had today. Woohoo! When I told Carolyn what the topic was going to be today, she got goosebumps. She said it was going to be a lot bigger than I thought it was.
It's always like that.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's always bigger than you believe or think it would be.
Yeah. Mary, I'm opening you back up again because we hadn't quite finished talking about this when I closed everybody down so we could hear Marla better.
That's all right. I don't think I've got anything else to say, actually, but it does feel, I made a comment on the chat room that it feels right. You can be really, really soft with the horse and it feels right in the gut. But a split second later, you actually need to up your energy or however you want to describe it, but it still feels right in the gut. I feel it in the gut. Other people would feel it in other ways.
Yeah.
But it's like you say, you know to your bones that what you're doing is what is required at that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, this is also why when you're out with other people doing, you watch other people with horses that have got the same sort of feel, that they can take a horse that's being, that maybe the owner can't cope with or is having difficulty with, but the person that is handling the horse has that feeling, and all of a sudden the horse suddenly starts to perform. And it's not necessarily a skill set or experience, but it's because they actually know in their heart of hearts that what they're getting back from the horse or offering to the horse is absolutely spot on what is required.
Talk a bit more about that, because I didn't quite, I know the end result of your...
I'm not sure where it came from. It just sort of rattled out of my mouth.
Okay.
I guess I was thinking of the situation where you see people with a lovely horse and everything's working absolutely superb, and they're a complete couple together, and the person doesn't really appear to do anything, but the horse is doing exactly what it wants to, and then somebody else will pick up that horse. Maybe they sold it on, maybe there's a teaching involved, but the two don't, the second couple, the second person, doesn't have that rapport, doesn't have that feeling to the bones that what they're doing is right, and it all just goes to pieces.
Ah, yes.
And it can work in the opposite way. So you've got a student and a teacher, and the student can't do anything, but the teacher takes the horse, doing apparently exactly the same requests, and all of a sudden this horse is performing like magic, because the teacher has got it to their bones and knows what they're looking for.
That's one of the reasons I almost never pick up somebody else's horse.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a terribly sad thing to do to a student.
Exactly. Yeah. I won't let anybody pick my horse up for the same reason.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons.
Not even Steve.
I can't even imagine taking a horse into a clinic anymore, because I wouldn't want someone else touching my horse.
Yeah. No. I'm really, really careful.
Gives me the shivers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, people are very,
there would
very
be
careful.
No doubt there would be exceptions to that. I just can't think of them offhand.
Oh, yeah, there's always an exception to the rule.
Oh, yes, I let Sue perfectly comfortably work with my horse, and I let Anna Karen work with Oliver with Joy and with Rapunzel. with joyfulness around that too. But isn't that cute, Anna Karen, that I'm so happy to hand my horse to you, and yet there are some great teachers in the world I wouldn't let touch my horse.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so lovely.
So it turns out that the biggest part of this right and wrong stuff, this should and shouldn't stuff, comes down to a comfort zone around the authentic me in this moment. Unaffected by society's expectations, unaffected by what someone else might think is a good horsemanship, unaffected by my past, except as it's contributed to who I am in this moment. Wow.
That's big.
It's huge. Just letting that sink into my, I can feel that sinking into my body, sinking into the cells of my body. There's such joyfulness in that. I can feel a little bit of tension across the top of my shoulders. I'm just wondering how much of that is mine. Some of it is.
It might be me. I've got really sore ribs. I fell over the other day.
Oh. See, even from a healing point of view, this the rightness of my body's response as it's healing is has been huge for me to recognize how much energy that releases. There's this huge flow of energy from the universe into my body when I really, really get the perfection of the way my body's responding to a something it needs to do. Carolyn will be intrigued. I'm going to share this with all of you. We had a chat the other day, and I was saying physically I've been in more trouble physically in the last few weeks than I've been in my whole life, and we talked about it, and there was a belief in there somewhere that was getting in my road, which was why it was such a big deal. It was, you know, my whole body screaming at me to understand what this mistaken belief is. And it turned out to be yes, I'm right that being present solves everything, because I was quite convinced that being present solved everything, but I had to actually get present to each one of these things that was going wrong, or each time I felt one of these symptoms, or each time, and I was busy blocking them all out. So my body had to scream at me. So it's been really interesting over the last few days getting present. So Carolyn said, when we were talking, she said it was going to hit me between the eyes as a duh moment. And she was right. You know, like, how duh is it that you have to actually get present to the symptoms rather than try to fix them. Oriana, that goes back to Oriana, to where we started the discussion today about fixing things, when in effect we have to get present with them. And then occasionally, in the being present, we'll get that we have to change something or do something or take some kind of action. But until we've done the get present part, we can kiss the rest of our butt goodbye. that landed for somebody. On a completely different note, because I'm going to go through the chat room and just check and see if anybody else has got any contribution they want to make to this, or a question, or a point to make, or whatever. Adrian, I'm drawn to your name for some reason, but it's my 40th wedding anniversary today.
Congratulations.
Yes, who would have, I can tell you what, there's times in these 40 years I wouldn't have thought we'd make it. God bless us both. if you could imagine the kind of energy that I bring to these things, you know, to the work that we do now, and that energy being completely out of whack, you can just imagine what Merv's put up with over 40 years.
He's a star.
Yes, he is. He is a star.
Even if he doesn't eat his veggies.
Well, he does. He just doesn't enjoy it. He said to me the other day, I was trying to tell someone they should be eating some sauerkraut, and Merv rolled his eyes and said, "Oh, fucking sauerkraut."
Oh, don't let me cough.
I hide the sauerkraut in his dinner, and sometimes I disguise it so he doesn't know it's there. But it's my way of saying I love him, to look after himself. I'm not sure he quite realises that, though. Francis, do you get that? Francis doesn't like vegetables either. She and Merv commiserate with each other when she's visiting. Okay, let's check the cat room. Bugger shrubbery, says Francis. Yes, Merv calls it shrubbery. Vegetables are shrubbery. Okay. I'm just flicking through the chat room. Carolyn was saying, this is wonderful to show us how very different we are, and our horses too. We can't put enough emphasis on that. All the threads that make up Rapunzel and that make up me are brought together in that moment to provide, you know, what it is that we need to do what we want to do together. And if Carolyn was picking her up, it would be different. And if Anna Karen was picking her up, it would be different. Oh, Sam's there. G'day, Sunshine. How are you? I didn't notice you there before. Thank you, Adrian and Sam and Carolyn and everybody else who's saying happy anniversary. Yeah. Yes. So what I'm going to suggest, I did want to open Jeff up and see how he's coped. see how you've coped today with the excess of estrogen.
it's been really helpful. I have a very spiritual side to me, and I love the way in which everybody explores that. I guess you call it the third eye, and for me it's just being willing to see beyond myself and to relax and allow the joy of being alive just flood through me, and it's a very strong feeling that I've been able to have maybe the last few months since I've had Jackson, actually. And I really pick up on this idea that you're exploring so beautifully today about allowing yourself to be present. And I like the idea that I gained from Journey to Feel, Jenny, about focusing for a few moments on the outward breath. That really does work for me. The other one,
it's that works for lots of people.
Yeah. And the other thing that I love about it is just allowing my mind to be still, not to keep thinking. I'm fairly what you would call an analytical, reflective person, so I think a lot. But when I'm with my horse, he actually challenges me just to be there. And I love that challenge, because that's my childhood, of course. When I was very young and riding out, I had no problems riding from Bega to Candelo. I'd do that in a day, and that was about a 35 miles in those days ride. And nobody questioned me. They just let me go. Mum and Dad just let me do this. And that freedom, I was in the present so much of that time. So I'm on board with everything you're saying. And I guess the big challenge for me now is how to help Jackson work through this pain. And I'd love to talk to you a little bit later about that. I don't want to spend too much time on it now, but that's my challenge. And if I can help him do that, wow, what a horse I've got here. He's magnificent. His spirit is incredible. And yet he's soft. So I think I love that idea about being soft and clear. Well, Jackson in himself is soft and clear. He's got that tremendous blend of a huge racehorse, and yet one who has been, who's had some good times in his life where somebody's really connected to him and allowed him to be a beautiful, quiet horse on the ground. So there you go, a very complex situation for me, but one worth exploring.
Go look at Fast Track Lesson 25.
Okay. I will.
And there's some, I forget which one's in Journey to Feel. There's some in Journey to Feel about be the change that you want your horse to be. There's some powerful physicality to that lesson in Journey to Feel. And then Fast Track Lesson 25 is, if I'm right, is the first lesson where we talk about release, relearn and reprogram.
Yes. Okay. I have been there at some point, but I want to go back to it then.
Yeah. Go back to it in the context of what we've been talking about today.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I really appreciate that so many of us are dealing with our belief structures. I think that's a big, big deal. And just being able to know that balance, I think Anna Karen was talking about that this balance between being firm for one moment and then being relaxed and much more soft at another moment. I noticed this works very well.
Actually, Anna Karen's was slightly different. She was saying that she could be soft and clear at the same time. It was Mary that was talking about being soft and gentle in one instant. And the thing I'd be thrilled to bits that you could take away from this first time of actually joining us in a live seminar is to celebrate our differences. The celebration of our differences enables us to find the me inside us and the confidence in me.
Right.
For you to find the confidence in you, that very core of you that it takes to be truly present. and open to every opportunity with your horse in that moment.
Yeah, and I think this is my challenge.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Actually, I have a flip-flop situation, which I think is so interesting, because my horse whisperer said to me, "Jeff, you are very soft a lot of the time, and then when things aren't working, you go too hard." And he actually said, "You've got to find that balance," which is what you're saying. That's my challenge, is to know how to be clear and firm at some moment, and then another time just to make sure that the soft is working as well as it could be.
So the answer, okay, I'm going to give you the answer. This is a very broad answer, but it's a pathway that will suit you. Get present. That's your answer.
Thank you.
Pause what you're doing. When something's not working, pause what you're doing and get more present.
Right. So let me just give you a final example. Yesterday, because I'm leading him over poles, trying to help him, rebuild strength in his hindquarters, he just stops. You know, sometimes he just stops, and he doesn't want to come forward. So then I ask him softly, and he still stands there saying, "I'm not going to do this now." So what I do is I just turn, and I have the lead line in my other hand, my non-leading hand, and I just twirl it. And he says, "Oh, okay, if you're going to twirl at me, I'm coming." So I don't have to do much, but it's just enough to change his mind. And this is
okay,
the kind of challenge.
For some reason, I've got another vision coming into my mind. It's actually pain. So getting him to step forwards under those circumstances, if you get present, more options may present themselves.
Right.
Options like walking to his hind end and rubbing him popped into my mind straight away as you were talking. Is this, you know, feeling your hand through his muscles, is this where it is, sweetheart? And I'm not, for God's sake, don't interpret this as me making you wrong about asking him to come forwards by twirling the rope, because there will be instances where that's perfect.
Right.
But any time from a healing point of view, he needs to feel inside himself and be able to pick that leg up through to release it, to release whatever had him stuck.
Yep. Because what I'm feeling, this is how I feel he's responding to these poles, because he's walking 100 poles a day at the moment, right? That's how many poles I take him over.
Wow.
And this is on the advice of the chiropractor, who's a really amazing man. He's an international chiropractor. And he's, you know, he's worked on him, and he's just said, "Jeff, this is what you've got to do." So I said, "Okay, I'll do this." But what I feel is that there are times when he's relaxed and he can walk over those poles and no problem, and there's times when it hurts him. Now,
yeah.
I have to be able to pick up when that's happening, and that's usually when he stops. And I'm thinking, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah, and this is my answer. Pause and get present and open yourself up to all the options. And don't pay any attention to anything anybody else said to you. This is you and your horse in this moment will find that answer.
Yeah, thank you.
This is big. Yeah, this is really big. Goosebumps.
It's huge for you.
Goosebumps,
yeah,
I love
because,
this work.
Because his whole future is built around him being able to heal. And I want him to heal.
Yeah, this is, yeah. And I completely get what the chiropractor is saying, that building up those muscles is actually going to be his answer. But it's not useful to build the muscles up around tension.
Yeah. Can I share with you one thing which was surprising to me? The chiropractor said, I want you to space the poles 3 horses apart. Now, I've never done that before. I've always had them closer. And he said, because I want him to walk over the poles relaxed.
Yep, perfect.
There's plenty of space between the poles for him to relax and not feel tense about going over the next one.
And also open up in the moment to 100 poles is a lot of poles in a day. There may be days when he's not up to 100 poles.
And maybe that's a day when I say, okay, well, let's walk around and do something else now.
Yeah, let's, let's go graze on a nice bit of grass somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Or,
well, that's, I've got to feel that, and that's what I've got to be able to tap into.
Yeah, and that's why the answer is pause and get more present.
Right, right.
And in that getting more present, you'll open up to more options in that moment.
Thank you.
That's such a simple little answer, and yet. I guarantee it applies to every single one of you, almost every single problem. Get more pause and get more present. have fun with that. Now I'm going to go and find something nice to do for my husband for our 40th wedding anniversary.
congratulations. That's wonderful news. I'm thrilled for you guys.
Oh, thank you. I've just come back to the chat room before. Carolyn said, Jeff, see if you can see Jackson communicating in his way to let you know how much he can do without tension. That's perfect. As you pause and get more present. Yes. See if you can figure out all the different ways in which Jackson communicates with you.
Yeah, well, you saw that one in the email. I've never seen a horse ever do that before.
I didn't open up the pictures because it would have taken the bandwidth.
Not so many pictures, but just the way in which he stopped and then threw his head up and down 7 times and then opened his mouth and then shook his head. He opened his mouth forward and shook his head. And then he started pawing the ground. Now, if that wasn't clearest kind of message a horse has given me, it's just incredible.
So you're going to start looking for some more subtle ways in which he communicates with you. I suspect you're going to be feeling the tension in your own body. So go looking for that.
Okay.
When you feel tension in your own body, like who was talking about this earlier? Oriana. We were talking about with Oriana. Right at the beginning, when you feel tension in your own body, pause and get more present and open up to understand whether that's him communicating with you.
Sounds good.
Okie doke. Maud said here, I've realised I get harsher when the child in my past is afraid. Yeah, you and me both, Maud. So when I realise that's happening, I can get present again and come back to the present. Okay, wow, we have had a very interesting session. Let me open everybody up. Does anybody have anything to add before we finish up today? Oh, I do. Next week, I have scheduled a live event on feel. Please, 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 everybody, share that with every horse person that you know. I'm going to be working with every single person on the call to either deepen their feel or discover it in the first place. And I would love it if you guys would come in and kind of be the catalyst to start people off.
That didn't look like anything like Montana that I remember.
Oh, Adrian, I've got you all open.
Well, oops.
I did say so. At least I thought I did. I said, I'll open you all up. So has anybody got anything else, any comments or questions before we finish up today? So please come back in next Sunday and let as many horse people as you know about this event. It's, I have no idea where these events are going, whether they're always going to be free and they lead to an income in another way, or whether there might end up being a small charge for these events. But every single person on the call who wants to will get one-on-one time with me. That's the commitment I'm making going into it. And we need lots of new people. Okay. And there's also some other really good fast track stuff that Carolyn and I are working our way through at the moment, how it's going to happen. But we've noticed that there are times when people need more support than our once a month live seminars, and we're figuring out ways to get that to happen a bit better. Okay, no questions. Lots of love to everybody. Lovely to meet you, Jeff. And good to hear everybody's voices again. And thank you all for your contribution, because, wow, I love the way everybody contributes to the live seminars. It's just absolutely perfect. Lots of love. See you next week, hopefully.
Bye. See you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.